We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're going to get your calls in just 1 second. All the things we just teased, you know, the Yankees, the fans not going to games. Bringing someone to a meaningful Yankee-Red Sox game in Fenway.
I also need to tell you why a rainout tomorrow night's a disaster.
We're going to get
and
to that.
And you don't even realize.
We'll get to that as well. And we are now chilling with SNY. What's up, peeps, on SNY? Courtesy of our friends at Grubhub. Quick breaking story in the moment, legit, right now, that has major repercussions to the New York sports landscape. And I want to get into it without people, how do I phrase this? This is not a political statement on whether you should or shouldn't, the story I'm about to tell you. It's just a factual statement, a factual story that has implications for championships here, for sure. Fox Sports is reporting multiple sources that Kyrie Irving has not been vaccinated. Now, why is that a story? It's his choice to get vaccinated. It's a story because of obviously how good he is, but as we said to you yesterday, because of the rules in New York City, if Kyrie is not vaccinated, he cannot practice in the five boroughs, nor can he play, meaning that Kyrie would not be available to play based on today's rules and laws of New York City at Barclays Center.
And the NBA plans to abide by it.
The NBA said they're going to abide by it for three teams. The Knicks, the Nets, and the Golden State Warriors all play in towns or neighborhoods or cities that have these rules in place. So that would mean that if Kyrie decides, which he's allowed to decide as a human being and as an American, that he is not going to get vaccinated, you will not see him in a Net jersey in Barclays Center or in the games that they would play against the Knicks at the Garden, which is less important, of course, to the overall picture of what the Nets hope to accomplish this year. Interestingly enough, Julius Randle is a guy that may or may not be vaccinated, but they seem kind of mum on the issue.
There's a
right?
quote from Julius Randle about it. I'll read it to you. You tell me. Maybe I'm reading into it incorrectly. When asked if Nick players missing games due to vaccination status could be an issue this year.
Right.
Julius said, I'm not sure if there's going to be an issue or not. I haven't thought about it. Everybody has their own preference on what they should do or not do or what's safe or not. And I get it. I understand it. I get both sides.
Yeah, I don't. To me, that tells me nothing.
Well, but it doesn't say anything.
My gut
is
that he probably is vaccinated, but I don't know.
We don't know.
Now, I say this to you because 2 days ago, we didn't reference it on the show because it's kind of immaterial to what we do here. Lou Lamoriello of the Islanders came out and said, we will not allow a single player on our roster not to be vaccinated.
But they also have the success rate in the NHL that's, I think, 95%.
Fair enough.
Right now in the NBA, it is about 85%, which is a very high number, by the way. 85% vaccination, but there are a couple of players who are hardlining. A few names have come out. Like Andrew Wiggins' name came out. We're not going to care about it in New York, but he plays for the Warriors. So kind of the same issue with Kyrie Irving. And what it's going to come down to is two things. Number one, will the player be willing to give up an exorbitant amount of money to miss half the season? But the other question is going to be, will the team try to find, and I've always said this to you, will the team try to find a way to make an excuse, whether it's on religious grounds or a quote-unquote doctor's note on why it's okay?
All right, so the answer is, of course the team is going to try. They'd be foolish not to. Will it be successful is up for some other arbiter of this to decide whether or not, I assume that's the NBA ultimately. Mm-hmm. But it's a big deal because, again, you can't tell someone what to put in their body or not, nor should you.
And the Players Association hardline, Michelle Roberts, who runs the Players Association, She's pro-vaccine, but she's also pro, we're not going to force it on
you
the players.
Can't. By the way, and I respect that. That being said, why is it a story? Because Kyrie Irving is one of the best players in the world, and the Nets have legitimate championship aspirations, especially off the injury a year ago, which they didn't win. Kyrie Irving needs to be here for this team to have the very best chance
especially
possible.
Especially during the postseason. Now, yeah. I know it's crazy to start thinking about April, May, and June, but of course that's going to be on your mind. Of course it's going to. And what's weird about this is while we never use Kyrie by name, you knew that was on everyone's mind.
Of course.
Fair or not. Like, that was the name. It was the name I had as a Net fan.
It's a name everybody thought. That
I wonder about Kyrie.
If there was going to be a guy of the big three, which one's most likely,
right.
Most people thought it was probably
And knowing
him.
Kyrie Irving, like we do as just New Yorkers, you think he's budging?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
Like, I don't think he comes across like a guy who's going to say, all right, fine, you got me. So when Sean Marks said the other day, we're confident we'll get all the guys in, what's his confidence from?
Well, here, Dan,
is it from Kyrie getting vaccinated or from the religious excuse or doctor's note that they'll get for him?
No, I think ultimately what plays in these situations, and I can't speak specifically to Kyrie because he's an outlier, I think, in a lot of ways. I think the relationships with the other guys they respect on their team, meaning KD and Harden specifically, that, listen, Sean Marks isn't going to convince Kyrie to get a shot. Joe Tsai is not going to convince him.
Will $500,000 a game convince him?
I don't know, because he's made so much money already. Money's no longer the thing to hold over his head.
Right.
Because he's got a lot of it.
Right.
Right?
So he can still afford to give up half his salary.
He can never play again, and I assume he's fine financially for the rest of his life. But if Kevin Durant and James Harden sit down with you as friends who he respects, I think, as people, then maybe he gets it done.
So how's this going to play
especially,
out then?
You know, he also just had a baby.
Right.
Right? So I don't know if that plays into it. It doesn't yet, I suppose, because he hasn't gotten
so
it.
So how's this going to play out?
I think it's going to be a lingering story through preseason.
See, I have a feeling it's going to go away because I think the Nets are going to find a way, right or wrong, you don't have to like it or not, to get him excused.
See, and the NBA,
and I think that's what
the
teams
NBA
are gonna
do. Doesn't want that because the NBA doesn't want to have to explain themselves to why this guy got the permission of that guy.
Do they have to?
In the world we live in today,
Craig,
they'll be forced to.
I'll take you into this magical world a month from now. Kyrie Irving's playing opening day. They're opening nights on the road, but opening day on that Sunday against Charlotte. He's in the lineup.
At Barclays.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah,
he's playing. Whoa, he's playing. Media starts asking questions.
Hey, did you get vaccinated?
A personal decision. Done. How do you further that?
Well, then you go to Sean Marks. What's the deal?
That's his personal decision. We're not going to talk about it, but he's good to go. You never have to answer it. That's why. What it's going to be specifically, but I think he's going to play, and we may never know if it's because he got vaccinated or they got a doctor's note or it's a religious reasoning,
exemption.
Whatever it is, exemption.
Yeah. The flip side is this. He's only going to play about 50 games anyway.
No, you
just ain't going to see him at home. That's all. But
well, and no Madison Square Garden. Yeah. And no Golden State. So
and the only reason I bring it up, because I know we got other stuff going on and, you know, and on and on and on and on, and Aaron Boone's going to join us in less than an hour, is it's a big story. It's what I alluded to 2 days ago when I said one of the biggest pending scandals that hasn't happened yet in professional sports history is, albeit three teams, but also visiting teams coming in.
And
it's a story the NBA doesn't need or want.
And aren't you, I don't want to say worried, that wouldn't be the right word. Aren't you very intrigued about if it and how it's affecting your team?
Of course.
We have no information. We haven't heard from anybody, so we don't know.
I have this gut feeling that the Knicks are all vaccinated. It's based on nothing.
Well, based on math, one or two guys is not. Because if 85% of the league is vaccinated, and you just look at that as your template, then
it's answeries, and there is a Knicks that isn't.
Sean Marks said one or two guys. Now, I had a phone conversation with a buddy of mine who's a Net fan, and we were saying one or two guys could be anybody. It could be two young players. Like, we're all jumping to the conclusion, oh, it's got to be a superstar. It could be anybody in society. So I would lean towards there's a guy or
you're
two.
Right. I have to assume there is a member of the Knicks roster today that's not vaccinated.
The question we have,
because the numbers belie that.
Right, but the question you have as a sports fan, because this is what we think about, is, well, who is it? If it's Julius Randle or R.J. Barrett, it's a big freaking deal. If it's a guy you're not even thinking about, you're like, nah, whatever. And
so
could a guy like that afford it too, by the way?
Well, that's like some guys can. You know that some guys clearly can't. They haven't been around long enough and made the kind of loot yet. That's a fun game to play, though.
What's that?
Right? If you try to play the guessing game, who's not, right? So if I told you that someone at WFAN was not vaccinated, who would most people guess?
Who would most
I'm talking on-air hosts, right?
On-air hosts.
So Boomer, Carton, Geo, Maggie, Carton, Roberts, Moose, Maggie, Steve Summers. That covers it pretty much, right?
Can we include producers like Louie and Aldo?
No. On-air people. I was saying, like, we do things, like, if people talked about us the way we talk about them,
right.
How would we like it? We probably wouldn't like it. Now, I've lived that side of it, and I can tell you, I didn't like it. I hated every minute of it.
Sure.
You're all so mean. But that being said, if we're going to play the game about, hey, what, Nick, if you had a guess, okay, what FAN host, if you had a guess, is not vaccinated?
I'll go with Sal Licata.
He's not a host here.
Well, he's the overnight guy.
I gave you the people to choose
Wait,
from.
So it doesn't include the guy who's on every freaking day
for 4 hours?
Does
he work here now?
Yeah, he's on every day.
We fired Steve Summers?
No, Steve's here too. They're both
here.
How
are they both here?
Yeah, I guess I would go with Steve. Nah, I go with Sal. Maybe Giannotti. Moose?
Moose.
I'm going with Meleusis.
You think Meleusis is the least likely to have been vaccinated?
I mean, if I have to make
a
power...
He can't come to the comedy show tonight. Somebody better call him up and tell him.
But he is coming to the comedy show, so it's not Meleusis.
That's right. Who's coming to the comedy show?
Who's not coming to the comedy show? Giannotti is not coming to the comedy show. But I heard him talk on the air about getting vaccinated. But was it all a ruse?
Ooh, was it a ruse?
No.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you put the magnifying glass on yourself, it's not always that pretty.
Is that what this whole exercise was?
Well, we do it like it means nothing, but like Julius Randle's listening to the show right now going, stop talking about me. I've been vaccinated.
Well, if someone comes out and says they're vaccinated, there's no longer speculation.
Yeah.
You know what happens, Craig? And I'm not saying this is fair. I think anytime someone says it's a personal decision,
they're saying they haven't done it.
Yeah. There's this almost cue to us to think, and personally, I don't care. Here's why we now care. Because it affects the teams we're rooting for, like an injury to a player. That's the way you're viewing it.
Sure.
If your best player is not available, we're breaking it down because, well, he has a hamstring issue. Well, now not getting vaccinated leaves you not available for half the games you play.
We do interpret certain answers as yes or no, depending on, I think, what we think anyway. But right, if I said to a player, I don't care what sport it is, hey, by the way, Billy, you've been vaccinated? I'd rather not discuss that with you. To me, the answer is no.
Okay, so when Julius Randle is asked, do you think lack of vaccinations will affect the Knicks this year? Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't know, haven't thought about it. It's a personal decision. Does that give you any cues?
No, it doesn't, because no one asked him, hey, Julius, are you vaccinated?
It wasn't asked point blank. What about you?
Right. It's like when they asked LeBron last year, he didn't answer it. He gave you the answer you just gave.
Right.
It's a personal decision, and while I discussed a lot of things with you guys, I'm not going to discuss that with you. I took that, I could be dead wrong, as a no.
Mm.
And here's the thing. I understand more now than I did maybe 6 months ago that no matter how you answer that question, someone's going to be pissed with you. For example, if LeBron James came out and said, or I came out, or you came out and said, yes, I've been vaccinated, the anti-vaxxers now hate you, right? They're like, what are you talking about, lending credence to that crap? If you come out and go, no, I'm not vaccinated, well, then the pro-vaxxers are like, stay away from my kids and my family. You're going to get us all sick and kill us.
Right.
Right? No matter what's, I saw it on Twitter today. Like, when all I did was tell the story to you earlier today that New York State is now incentivizing you getting the vax by offering you Jets tickets, Giants tickets, Bills tickets, and merch from any of those teams, right?
Right.
I didn't say I was down with it. I just told you what's happening. I get 50 hate emails, tweets. I'm never listening again. You're propagandizing the crowd. Dude, I've never told you to get vaccinated. I don't care if you do or not. I'm just telling you a story.
So do you think players don't give an answer for that reason?
I think if I'm Julius Randle,
and
I'm not saying it's factual, I'm just guessing. Yeah, I don't think a player wants to come out. Certain players, of course. Now, certain guys are much more comfortable financially, platform, career, and all that stuff, where they don't give a damn, of course, like a Charles Barkley type, right? But yeah, Julius Randle might just be saying, I just don't want to give an opinion because right. no matter which opinion I might give,
I'm going to get hate for it.
I'm going to get criticized
I'm getting
for
crap for
it.
Which
and I don't want to be criticized.
Yeah, which
so
weird.
I get that.
Well, he got criticized in the playoffs.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. Jokes aside, you know what's weird about the NBA situation? So to go to a Knick or Net game, you need to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
To be an official in the NBA, you need to be vaccinated. That's a rule.
Okay.
Every NBA official needs to be vaccinated. To be in the front office within 15 feet of players on a game day, you need to be vaccinated. Everybody in that building needs to be vaccinated except the players.
Right. Who probably put each other more at risk than any other employee if they had it.
Right, and it's because the union is strong enough, and I respect Michelle Roberts because she's come out and said, look, I'm vaccinated, I have no hesitation, but I am representing the players.
Yeah.
And we're not going to force them to get vaccinated.
So, again, Fox Sports has that story, and because it's a legitimate source, we went with it today. So you could make up your own opinion, but we're about a week and a half, I guess, away, right, from opening of training camps and whatnot and preseason.
Well, the Nets are training in California, so it's kind of irrelevant for them. But for the New York Knicks, they play a preseason game at Madison Square Garden a week from Monday. Now, you could easily hide it and say, well, we're sitting guys, it's just the preseason.
Sure, of course.
But you know that based on who's playing that night and who's in that building and who's not, conclusions will be drawn.
Yeah, right. Us not knowing feeds the rumor mill and the gossip.
Look, that game's on. That game's on TV, I think. If you're at Madison Square Garden on October 5th and a Knick player, name them, I'm not going to pick one, just pick any player, it doesn't play and is not in the building, you're going to say, oh, wait. We may not have this guy for half the year.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
We're just going to make a left-hand turn here real quick because we and I have a very special announcement to make that's been in the works, I guess, for the better part of the last 6 months, Evan. You're obviously, Evan's aware of it. Everyone knows that since I came back from my self-inflicted hiatus from the radio, that's been important that my story gets told, really to help other people. And it's also therapeutic for me to talk about compulsive gambling and all the things it cost me in my life, you know, my career, family, money, et cetera, et cetera. And if I ever got an opportunity to come back on the radio, I made a pledge to people I met in rehab in Prescott, Arizona, that I would dedicate a portion of my life and the platform I have to be the face and or voice of responsible gambling and to tell the story so people can put something real in their heads when you think about what gambling addiction is. You know, we do that for alcoholics. We do that for drug addicts. But for compulsive gamblers, not only do we not do it, we also, and this is going to sound silly, make them feel bad about themselves by calling them degenerates. They're not degenerate alcoholics. They're not degenerate drug addicts. But for some reason, gamblers are referred to as degenerates. And I used to really be bothered by that and, frankly, still am. And I used to have great shame in the fact that I made all the bad decisions I made to go down the road I went down, which cost me my freedom, amongst a lot of other things. So now that I've been back almost a year, it's been very important to me selfishly to use this amazing platform to speak towards the ills of compulsive gambling. It's why when I came back shortly after my return here and working with Evan Roberts, that in January we started Hello, My Name is Craig, which is the Saturday morning program, which is a 30-minute song just talking about gambling and gambling addiction. I've said many times on this show and in interviews, I'm in favor of the proliferation of legalized gambling. I think it's the right thing for states to do and take gambling out of the back corner alleys and the seedy nature of what a lot of people think about gambling. I think mainstreaming is actually a very good thing, and I've been supportive of it, which kind of puts me in a weird spot, right? I'm a compulsive gambler, but I'm supportive of more gambling. I don't do gambling ads. I don't talk about point spreads really on this show. I don't do picks. I cannot gamble responsibly, and I know it. And I take ownership of it, and I say that now with pride, not shame anymore. So what we're about to announce, I also have great pride in. FanDuel has been a partner of this radio station's pretty much since its inception. And over the last year or so, that partnership has grown immensely to where a number of hosts on this radio show and the company nationwide has FanDuel commercials. It's a big part of our business now. A few months ago, I connected with FanDuel to talk about the possibility of co-creating a responsible gaming platform and a responsible gaming message. And I'm very proud to announce that I have a partnership with FanDuel specifically and solely to further the message of responsible gambling. And joining us now on the show is the Chief Marketing Officer of FanDuel, Mike Raffensperger. And Mike, A, good to see you, and B, thank you for coming into the studio. I appreciate it.
Greg, it's good to see you. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, look, thank you for the conversation we've been having for a few months,
yep.
The partnership that I think we share a similar vision and passion for how this industry legalizes and evolves in the right way, which
yep.
is taking responsible gaming and our place as a corporate citizen and being a part of the community seriously.
Yeah, and I want to, in addition to telling people what it is, I want to tell you what it's not, and because it's very important for the people that are going to naysay what we're doing, and there will be some people that will
sure.
for sure. FanDuel is not using the name Craig Carton, the Carton Roberts platform, to acquire more customers. They got plenty of customers. They don't need me or Evan to do that for this. The purpose of this is to get the idea of responsible gambling out there. And as I've said many times, if FanDuel announced it on their own and used the FanDuel voice to do it or any you know, a pretty model to do it or anyone else, it's going to fall on deaf ears because it's not real. That voice, that pretty model, didn't experience what I experienced. So the reason I said yes to the deal and the reason we vetted each other very much over the last couple of months was that I wanted people to know that it's real. Addiction's real beyond the scope of just this radio station. And having the access to FanDuel's nationwide platform was important to me. They will never use my name. I will never promote FanDuel from a standpoint of go wager with them. I will, however, join forces with FanDuel to let people know that are going to wager with them, either currently or considering it, that FanDuel understands their responsibility in the community at large to promote the idea of responsible gambling.
That's
And that's something that you guys are already doing, but are firmly committed with significant resources to make that a real major aspect of your business going forward, correct?
It is, yes. I mean, to your point, there's a lot of things we've done to date, which I'm proud of. You know, we were the first to partner with the American Gaming Association to invest in their Have a Game Plan campaign, talking explicitly about responsible gaming. We've built open source tools, so any sportsbook operator can come take our code that are things that help players limit their deposits, limit how much time they play. We have over 100 employees focused on risk compliance and looking and building, including a team of data engineers, looking at play behavior where people might be, you know, getting out over their skis or playing in an uncomfortable way. What I think we recognized was exactly what you're talking about, Craig. We need to put a human voice on what this means, make it human, make it real for people. And I think, obviously, you've been really generous in sharing your personal story with your audience. You're really generous in sharing it with us and our team, and we're excited about partnering with Craig, where he's actually joining a leadership committee with five of the most senior executives at our company. Craig is now a part of that, helping us shape really how we do responsible gaming, how we do those communications going forward, because we want to get it right.
And like I said, I met at the FanDuel offices, Evan, and I think I've met 40 people who are now on this responsible gambling team, and apparently there's more I didn't meet yet. But here's one other question I have for you. Yeah. Doing this is counterintuitive to your business. Try telling people, you know what, we're not going to take your money. We're not going to let you gamble. We think there's red flags that make us worry about you doing this responsibly, recreationally. Gambling should be fun. Yeah. And for a lot of people like me, although a minority of the people that will ever gamble, it's enough in numbers now that it's serious. There's going to be a potential epidemic nationwide, maybe not in a specific town, but across the nation because it's, you know, being legalized more and more. Why do it on your end? Because you don't have to do it. You could do the bare minimum. Why do it when it's counterintuitive to the business itself?
Look, to be honest with you, there's a lot of reasons. I'll just set aside it's the right thing to do. It is. But it's the right business decision for us to make because I think we recognize, look, it's a very small percentage of people, but they will have problem controlling their play. And I don't want to make FanDuel the number one sports book in the country next week, next quarter, even next year. 10 years down the line, like, I want us to be a leader in this industry. And if we don't get this right, we will, one, harm people in our community, our neighbors, our coaches, Little League, our kids, Little League coaches, and also it'll have blowback. People won't be feel like it's a positive, you know, force in the sporting community. That's what we want to be. We want to be a source of entertainment, a source of fun. And being, you know, very candid, I would way rather have somebody bet a dollar every day for the next 15 years than bet $100,000 next week and, you know, really disrupt their life and life of their family. We want to be a positive force in the way. Again, I'm a huge supporter of online legalized gambling, as you are, Craig.
Sure.
Specifically because when it's in the dark, nobody cares about these issues. They don't care about the way it evolves. We want to get ahead of this. We want to build the industry in the right way for the next 10 years, and that's why it's the right business decision for us.
Without, as someone who gambles casually, sure. And I've learned this from listening to Craig, at some point you may not even realize you have a problem. Yeah. What can you guys do as you kind of have the algorithms to make sure that, hey, I'm noticing this may be a problem for this person? What are you noticing that will help make sure that doesn't happen?
Sure. So, yeah, as I said today, there are a number of tools which you can raise your hand and voluntarily put in. We also sometimes ourselves limit how much people can play, whether they can deposit. In some extreme cases, we just simply stop taking bets. And to the rub of your question, Evan, it's a mix of sort of looking at the players' behaviors, looking at things like affordability, the way that they're betting, the way that they're wagering. If someone dramatically changes the style of play or dramatically changes the amount they're betting, those are the kinds of signals our system will pick up on. And we have teams of professionals that review that and in some cases reach out, talk to our customer and assess sort of right the right next step is.
Can you direct someone that you're worried about or that you're going to put a wall up in front of so that they can't wager with you? Can you also then go another step further and direct them to where they can maybe get help, talk to people, give them resources that gambling addicts like us need?
We can and we do. You know, okay. In these cases where we do shut down accounts, you know, one of the last communications we have with the customer is suggesting here are some resources, some communities. One of the things, frankly, I know, Craig, you and I have talked about is excited about what else can we do and in a way that's authentic, right? Not necessarily coming from FanDuel. What are the other communications, resources, human stories, examples? But we do, right? We care again. Like I said, we want to be a part of the community in a broader way, and we do point people to those resources.
I don't want to say this. There are people out there, and I want to be clear. You know, GA has saved a lot of people's lives, and I do want to just be sensitive to that. The GA model is you can never gamble again. There are others that, you know, don't believe in that in its entirety, that there's a way for you to gamble responsibly at some point later in life. I don't espouse either belief. I think you have to do what's good for you. And if you want to live your life the GA way, which is you abstain from all forms of gambling for the rest of your life, I respect that and get that because that has saved a lot of people. But there's also a lot of people that feel like, hey, I can still play the lottery. I can still play fantasy or, you know, put $10 on a ball game. And there are a lot of those people that exist too. But I did want to be sensitive to those that might be hearing this saying, there's no such thing as responsible gambling. Now, it's not FanDuel's job to tell you, Evan Roberts, you should never, ever gamble again. It's to say, hey, we think you might have something going on there, so we're not going to let you gamble with us because it's the right thing to do. And listen, ultimately, it's a content, you know, agreement as well where we're going to create, I think, some very powerful, meaningful content for the world to digest through all of your platforms. And I do want to thank Audacy, our parent company, for allowing us and me personally to do this, not just the Saturday show, but have this partnership. And I think looking back, as I said to you earlier today, my goal is that 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you and I go to an arena and we invite everyone that benefited from the responsible gambling campaign that we work on together so we can see them. Because I do think we're going to help thousands of people, not tens or hundreds of people. I think when this thing is rolled out and the content we put out there together to put a face and a name and a voice to it, I think it will resonate far beyond the scope of what anyone thinks. And I think we're going to save a lot of people's lives. And I can't wait to get started. And I appreciate you guys thinking of me as the one you chose to be that voice and that face. And I won't let you down in that regard.
Look, we appreciate the partnership as well. We're similarly really eager to get started, Craig. Thanks.
Look forward to it. All right, so that's the announcement. I just wanted to put out there. Evan, thank you for allowing us to do that as well.
Course.
And once we have our first official piece of content, we will announce it so everyone knows that where they can get it and see it. And I'm really excited about it. I've made it kind of my life's mission now because, and I've told this story a few times, you know, I denied having a problem until I went to Algamas. It's a rehab center in Prescott, Arizona. And I sat in a room. There were about 12 other men and women. And this is a problem that does affect women as well. Women gamble. There are more men gambling, but women gamble as well. Women have gambling problems as well. And I sat in this room, and I had always thought that I was the best ever. And there's an ego involved with it for sure. Nobody ever played cards as good as me. And I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles to tell you that, and I would have stared you dead in the face. And I went to rehab originally because I thought it would get people off my case. I thought it would look good. And I went for all the wrong reasons. And I deny. I don't have a problem. You guys just can't possibly understand how I process numbers. I'm a math guy and how I process wagering and all that stuff. And then one by one, they went around the room. Now, at this point, I was wagering $10,000 to $15,000 on every single hand of blackjack I was playing. I would put 20 grand on a ball game. Didn't matter. Money had no value anymore to me. And I'm sitting in this room, excuse me, and there's a gal from Nevada who takes her paycheck to a local bar to play Keno every week. There's a businesswoman from San Francisco who has an addiction to the dollar scratch-offs. There's a sports gambler in Oklahoma. There's a 22-year-old kid who tried to take his own life, actually, in Chicago, who couldn't handle playing roulette. And all walks of life, all different backgrounds. And I learned the amount of money doesn't mean anything. It's what's relative to you. And number two, when they each spoke and introduced themselves, it was as if I had written a script and they stole my words and my emotions. And I thought I was being punked. I looked around for cameras. I was like, no, come on. You guys can't say exactly what I just, no way, right? And it wasn't until then that I dropped the ego, dropped the shame, and could look myself in the mirror and say, hey, dummy, you got a problem. And I made those 12 people a vow that if I ever got back on my feet and got back on the radio or TV, that I would use that platform to represent them. Because gambling addicts don't have a representative. They just don't. You know, and then we hide in plain sight. And the last thing I'd say, because at 6 o'clock tonight, what's the name of it again, Tommy? I'm listening, I think, right? Audacy, as a radio company, has this great program tonight called I'm Listening. And it's about mental health, and it's okay not to be okay. The suicide rate amongst gamblers is more than double any other addiction. It's scary, and I've lived that. I know what it's like to be on that edge. And like I've said many times, if I didn't have a phone with me and pick up the phone and call Sherrod Williams, I don't know that I'd be here today. Legitimately. I've lived it. I'm very respectful of people with mental health problems because I almost jumped off a chairlift. I've lived this moment. And it's really powerful to me that there are people out there that are making that decision consciously and actively right now. So the fact that you guys as a company are willing to be the driving force behind awareness and dropping the shame associated with it and making this addiction conversation more mainstream, even as much as you guys think it's going to help 100 times more. Yeah. So I'm blessed to be a part of it, and I thank you for allowing me to do that.
Thank you, Craig.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
CeeLo's here. We got Aaron Boone coming up in about 10, but first, Chris has has an update. Good.
All right. Sponsored by Bruni and Campisi Home Comfort and Efficiency Company, serving Westchester, Fairfield, Rockland, and Putnam counties. Got some Giants updates for you. Joe Judge earlier today on the status of center Nick Gates, who of course suffered that horrific injury last Thursday in D.C. He is still in the hospital down there, needs another procedure on his leg, and asked if the injury could be career-ending. Judge said, quote, "I'd be lying if I said no."
That's
he
horrific,
also
man.
Did say, "We're confident he'll be able to come back, but yes, it could be career-ending." So obviously a very unfortunate situation for him. As far as the guys that are not on injured reserve, you get some key guys who were limited today. Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram, Kenny Galladay, and Kadarius Toney, all limited in practice today.
Are they playing on Sunday?
We don't know yet. We don't know
yet. They're all playing, and so is the Savior.
Well, Kadarius Toney may not play. He may be active, but he may not play.
We will get to that. Here's Barkley on the state of his surgically repaired knee and his mental mindset still knocking off some of the rust.
Last week, I could felt like, you know, I know it's going to sound weird, but like my eyes and my feet were moving at the same pace. I was seeing things and making cuts like as the game got on.
So maybe they're starting to sync up a little bit.
There's one thing you learned this past week that he doesn't do well, and that's play beer pong. He was at the Penn State whiteout game in a Penn State hockey jersey, and he was playing beer pong with a bunch of the kids, which is awesome that he would do that,
sure.
Of course.
He struggles.
Because the dude's like Jesus on the Penn State campus. And he was terrible.
Really? I am surprised about that.
That's probably a good sign, though, right, for the Giants?
And
a good sign?
How hard is it to throw a ping pong ball to a solo cup? It's not that terrible.
Ask Conor McGregor.
Even I'm good at it.
It takes no athletic skill to do it.
None.
Yeah.
He's going to have, is my prediction, he's going to have a huge Sunday. This is the breakout. That's the old Saquon Barkley kind of day.
Well, I mean, what he's saying is should be music to your ears, that he feels like he can now physically do what his mind's telling his body to do. Just one quick thing in the Gates story you said.
Yeah.
He's apparently still in a Virginia hospital.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Why?
Because he needs another procedure. And I guess maybe the
kids, I would have thought they would have stabilized him and bringing him up here for, you know, a hospital for special surgery or something like that. I didn't get that.
I don't know the specifics, but sometimes with those like serious breaks, the fear of infection, and they have to stay for a while. Yep. So I'd imagine
and
it's
by the way,
related to
if
that.
He's in the same place Alex Smith was at, he's in good hands.
Right.
Clearly.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
As for Galladay, it's a hip issue now. He did next to nothing during the portion of practice open to the media, which is a very small portion, I should add that. Obviously, the Giants had some extra time to recover following the Thursday nighter. His sideline frustration did become a story. It spilled into this week. We finally heard from him telling us it was Jason Garrett, not Daniel Jones, he was yelling at or venting or whatever you want to call it. Garrett with the media today, as you might imagine, downplayed the whole thing.
To me, it's not a big deal at all. We're excited about having Kenny Galladay here. We liked him a lot in free agency, and we brought him here. He's done a really good job. for us. I love the guy.
All right.
You know what's interesting about this? I agreed with Evan after the game when Gallaudet didn't speak. It's a story. Because we all saw it on TV, him yelling in the direction of, we thought he was just Daniel Jones with a poor equipment guy, and we couldn't see Jason Garrett from the shot we originally had. And I agreed. It was an absolute story because it happened, right? And they lost the game, and blah, blah, blah. And then once Gallaudet spoke and Daniel Jones spoke as well, to me, like, then it's over.
Well, it could have ended, you know, Thursday night. That's the thing I didn't understand.
No, what I'm saying is, like, now it's another day later. And is there nothing else going on?
No. It's because here's why that lingered. It lingered because, oh, wait, it's Jason Garrett.
Right.
Now what does Jason Garrett have to say?
Coordinators speak prior to this.
Like, yes, I understand that there's...
Still, it's like not that big a deal. Like, well, when's the last time we didn't have a player yelling on the sideline?
I agree. I get that there's protocol. Here's what the Giants could have done. He could have talked Kenny Golladay right after the game. All right? It would have saved Daniel Jones a lot of heartache from having to answer questions about it. And then make Jason Garrett available earlier. Have him comment on
it. Done with it.
And it's over by Friday.
Well, yeah.
But it lingered because the protocols are, well, Jason Garrett doesn't talk till the following Thursday. And Kenny Golladay didn't start talking until Monday.
Not having Golladay on that Zoom on Friday lengthened the story.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a non-story. But right. Let me ask you this. If you're a Giant fan, I'm going to give you a choice. Kenny Golladay yelling at the offensive coordinator on the sideline, or OBJ proposing to the kicking net? Which one would you rather have?
Kenny Golladay.
Really?
Because it's about football.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Just
that's why.
Because you're not a Giant fan, are you?
Yeah.
Big Mac, are you a Giant fan still?
I am a Giant fan still.
Still? Even though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though I'm not sure what, yes.
Which would you rather have?
I'd rather have the proposing to the kicking net because the touchdown preceded it.
That's a good way to look at it.
Good answer.
That's a good answer.
Well played, my friend. I'm not going to make fun of you tonight now. Well played.
Yeah, okay.
The whole night?
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
All right. Speaking of other stories that have lingered and you won't care about, but we'll play it because it's fresh, it's current, and he finally spoke today. You've got Tony and his curious Instagram posts also following the loss last week. Yes.
Yeah.
In which he was used sparingly, as Evan alluded to. And here was his opening statement earlier today, so he got out in front of this before anyone even asked him a question.
I want to address the elephant in the room with like social media. I know a lot of stuff was misinterpreted by me talking about the Giants or whatever. That had nothing to do with the Giants. Just focus on ready playing like against the Falcons, you know.
All right, so that's part one. Here's part two.
Non-story.
All right, his follow-up tweet after the Instagram thing got out there referred to the media as clowns, plural. But apparently he wasn't taking aim at the media in general.
It's not meant for everybody. The one that specifically know who I'm talking about, because the story that they want to make, want to create stuff like that, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Apologize to the rest of y'all who do a great job at what y'all do. And you know, so I'm going to leave it at that.
So he's got beef with somebody.
He was pissed off at one person.
Or maybe a small group of people.
Kadarius Toney's had more controversies than receptions.
Yes, he has.
The guy's done nothing. He's trying to, listen, what do you want from him? He's a kid, right?
Yeah.
And what he wrote in that Instagram post wasn't all that bad anyway.
Right, it's silly.
Like, he didn't throw a name under a bus.
No, it's not that it's bad. It's that you are...
play.
Okay, it's not that it's that bad or what. It's that you're a rookie who's done nothing.
Yeah, but
just
I think...
Just get on the field and be productive.
Sure.
And then, yeah, you can start to talk. You've done nothing.
I'm not bothered by it. I'm really not. Especially, you know, listen, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, you know, this is all they do all day. That's how they live their lives, you know. I farted today. Let me tell Facebook.
Yeah, but I think one of the first things you learn now is that you're being taught,
well,
hey, you got to be careful.
He just learned it. Okay. I would guarantee that Kadarius Toney doesn't have another questionable post this season. Mm-hmm. If he does... Yeah, go after him. Go get him. Oh, let the mob have their way. Oh, my God. A 20-year-old kid said he's upset he didn't play. Let's go attack him and bury him.
Well, no one's attacking and burying
him. You're an attacker.
I haven't attacked him or buried him.
You're like the old guy on the lawn.
Stop.
You did. You took a little stab. He's got more controversies.
Burying?
You're not wrong, by the way.
More controversies than catches.
Is that burying now?
I agree with you, by the way.
You're so soft, too, that that's a burial? That's just me making a comment.
What are you, Tom Brady now?
That's a witty comment. That's all it is.
You can put it in your act tonight.
No.
I love that. I still love yesterday. Tom Brady says the NFL is soft. They made rules so he don't get hit.
I love that. Yep.
That's my guy right there. He knows what's up.
And then today he's got his guru coming out in the story in the Boston Herald or whichever Boston paper it was, Alex Guerrero.
Yeah.
And as the Bucks are getting set, I think next week to
next
face
week.
The Patriots,
yeah.
Brady going to Foxborough, Guerrero tells the paper that Belichick didn't grow with
Tom. He didn't evolve.
Yeah, he didn't
next
evolve.
Yo, Alex Guerrero to me is like Gail King.
He's only famous because of her, his or
you
her
picked
famous
the right
friend.
Person to be friends with. Not that you're not ultimately good at what you now do.
Right.
But, you know, I'd have never had a friend like that. I made that mistake in life.
Well, aren't you that for Boomer?
Yes, I am. I'm the other side. I'm Oprah. That's exactly right. No. I am Oprah. I'm Tom Brady.
Okay, Alex Guerrero.
Boomer is my Gail King.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
MVP quarterback and his sidekick friend who we made famous. You're Gail King.
No.
You're Alex Guerrero.
It's the other way around.
And now I'm Alex Guerrero. See?
You're funny.
It all works.
Let me just point. Let me point this out on Guerrero, because people, this guy, questionable past, you know, snake oil salesman, all that good stuff. There's no way he gives that quote without Tom's approval. So you know that he's basically the mouthpiece for Brady.
Well, it's similar to Stephen A. Smith being the mouthpiece for the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, that's how we have to look at things now. Things are leaked for reasons.
Yes.
And I think next week's going to be unbearable. The Patriot Buccaneer week. This is just the beginning. Like, this story about what Guerrero said about Belichick, you can only imagine what next week's going to be like.
So just out of curiosity, if Stephen A. Smith is the spokesperson for the Sixers, who's Rachel Nichols?
What?
Well, you know where I'm going, don't you?
Oh, goodness. What?
Well, I'm just saying you know what the rumors were.
So what do you want me to say?
I wanted someone else to say it.
I'm not saying it.
Brian Windhorst is LeBron's spokesperson.
Right, right.
Rachel Nichols was allegedly Jimmy Butler's.
Everybody's got an agenda, so they get their minions in the media to repeat it. I've learned this recently. So, like, that Nick Wright guy.
You mean that's why Aaron Boone texts me all the time?
Exactly. He wants you to be his minion. Like, I did some research. I found out that Nick Wright guy is a minion of LeBron and all of LeBron's people. Like, he's the
Is that right?
I found that out. I was like, that's crazy.
Makes sense. Okay.
Same thing with Stephen A. Oh, yeah, Ben Simmons has the value to get me Kyrie Irving. Sure.
Wow.
And so Aaron.
He is vaccinated.
Shut up. We don't know that. Aaron is probably trying to get you to be a minion. That's pretty cool.
Aaron Boone doesn't have minions. He barely has a job.
Oh, boy. And you can tell him that in a couple of minutes. Yeah,
I'm
going to.
Well, we're going to talk about it for sure.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron Boone, like, you know. There's not, like, specifically, you can ask him who's going to play against the Red Sox for sure. Like, you know, what's the rotation defensively? Because you know who the pitching matchups are. Outside of that, I'd rather talk to Aaron Boone after each Yankee game. Like, can we change the deal with Aaron Boone? I don't care to talk to him today. We should change the deal that over the last 9 games, he comes on our show the day after every game.
Well, he does.
Every game.
He does?
Yeah, think about it. The Yankees play every day.
Yeah, so he should be on Carton and Roberts.
Well,
Craig,
did the Yankees play last night?
Yes.
So he's on today.
Yeah, but no one cares about last night.
So then what's the difference?
I'm talking about going forward for these 9 games.
Yeah, you interview him into a game.
They play the Red Sox tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to talk to Aaron Boone on, what's tomorrow?
Friday.
Doesn't work.
Okay. Saturday.
I want to talk to Aaron Boone on Monday. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Yes. Sure. Wait a second. Do you want to start doing nights at WFN and then we can put Aaron on right after games?
No. What I'm saying is.
Then what the hell do you want?
On Monday, I want to talk to Aaron Boone after the Red Sox series. I don't want to wait till Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, but we're talking to him today after the Rangers series.
No one cares about the Rangers series. They did what they were supposed to do.
And you'll talk to him next week in the midst of the Blue Jay series.
He's right. We're talking to him after
kind of important.
Series.
I guess that's a good point.
Here's what you can do today since they're off.
Well, now that he's trying to make me a minion, maybe I don't want to talk to him at all.
If he wanted you to be a minion, what message would he want you to get out?
Like,
Boone want Craig Carton to get out on his behalf?
I don't make any of these lineups.
No,
it's all Cashman.
Not want that. That's the opposite. What are you, crazy?
That's Gary Sanchez,
I think
real
stiff. If
he
wanted me to be a minion, I would have gotten the following text. He always sends me the fist.
Right.
All right? He loves giving me the fist.
Easy now.
Okay? I get the fist all the time from him. All right? And then he would have said, I would have moved Kleber to second months ago.
That's
a good one.
Very nice.
And then you would have said on the air, you know what, guys? Boone wanted to do this in April.
Right.
Aaron Boone was committed to this in April, and it was everybody else who said no.
I told Cash, those damn analytics guys.
Yeah. Well, how do you think I know that it was George Steinbrenner's call to bring in Kayagawa? That wasn't Cashman's play.
Right.
Cashman took the heat for it, like Daniel Jones took the heat for Kadarius Toney. Different stories, obviously.
What a comparison.
But yeah, everyone always blames Brian Cashman for that signing, right? As one of the examples of he doesn't always get it right.
Right.
Wasn't his decision.
Interesting. Hmm.
How about that?
And to Cashman's credit, he's admitted that signing DJ the first time, which worked out so well, was not his idea.
Yeah.
That he actually listened to people who said, no, bring in DJ, which I think is a great sign of great leadership that you're so easily willing to say, I don't need to take all the credit.
Right.
Someone else brought that to me.
Yeah. That doesn't happen a lot, especially in this business.
No, clearly with you.
Since there's no game tonight and you'll have extra time with Boone, I need you to get to the bottom of why he went with Klub instead of Klubi. Can you do that for me?
Oh, that's the only thing I care about.
Yeah. I need to know. I need to know
that's
why.
Not my list.
He's
that's
got like eight guys with an E at the end, and he went with Klub.
That's
Kluber.
The only question I have for him.
I want to know. I do want to know.
Is he on the line right now?
Probably.
He's not.
Oh, not yet?
He's always on time.
I can tell you this. For the Jet fans, Jamison Crowder did not practice again today.
Is he going to play this season?
Groin injury is lingering.
I think when I think of the New York Jets, granted it's only been two games, blah, 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 I don't even think of him on the Jets. Maybe because we haven't seen him.
Well, that's why.
And those groin injuries do linger sometimes.
And Jamison Crowder was a good security blanket for Sam Darnold. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the same for Zach Wilson, but it would be nice to have Jamison Crowder back. I hope he plays. I don't know if he will, though.
On your boy Denzel Mims.
Well, if Mims will play, we don't need Crowder.
Jets offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur today. Another great day of practice, and I truly mean that. So we'll see about
He's had, by the way, week one, LaFleur came out and said he had the best week of practice he's had since I've been here. Healthy scratch.
Until he's on the field playing, none of these words mean anything. Oh, he played great in practice. Yippee.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.